Greetings, this is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor, and I want to get a bit different take, more from a technical and historical standpoint on interest rates today. Most of you by now have listened to the conversation I had this weekend with my buddy Miss Shedlock, and I've got another buddy of mine on here, Dana Lyons. Dana is also from the Chicagoland area. He works with his family's investment advisory firm, and one of the reasons I like him is because he is an independent thinker. He's not just a robot telling you to get in a bunch of canned exchange-traded funds and stuff, but his firm has a method to its madness, and they're really, really worth paying attention to. Dana, thanks for taking a few minutes today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Chris. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
And again, we're going to talk a little bit about the historical and technical perspective of interest rates. We've been talking about the fundamental story right now, and I'm old enough to remember the peak in interest rates back in the 1980 and 81 time frame. We had double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates, and about the time people thought that we were heading for Latin American style hyperinflation and triple-digit interest rates, we started to get the opposite, and since that time have had a bond bull market with rising bond values and falling bond yields over nearly 40 years now. And along the line, and we're seeing this again, it kind of reminds me of what Mark Twain once supposedly said of himself while he was on a speaking tour in London, that the rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. Many times the death of the bond bull market has been forecast. It didn't quite come about, but we have to revisit that question again. And you look at this from a cycle aspect, that things run in long-term cycles, and you have to believe, based on what we've said, that the low of the 10-year note, which is today the bellwether, not the long bond anymore, that the low yield was tagged in 2016 at what was a 1.4% or thereabouts, and that we're heading up. Tell us about that cycle study and why you think that this move higher in interest rates is not going to be a flash in the pan.
Sure, Chris. Well, we do come from it from a technical perspective. All our investment decision making is based on technicals and objective quantifiable metrics. So one larger kind of a 30,000 foot perspective, we come at some things from a general perspective is from a cycle perspective. So looking at, for example, the 10-year interest rate, going back, you take it back hundreds of years, there is a very clear approximate 60-year cycle that we've seen over over that time period. So we had, you know, peaks back in the mid-1800s, then peaked again in the 20s, and again in the 80s, and then you look at the lows around the just before the turn of the 20th century, then again in the 40s. So we've been in this, we've been in the window for a possible turning point, for a possible low in interest rates for some time now. Obviously, a cycle this large, you have to have, you know, a little bit of wiggle room. You can't pinpoint it exactly, but from that cycle, from that 60-year cycle perspective, we certainly were well within the window maybe a decade ago. So that's when we started looking for the potential for a turning point back then. Now, I think from a psychological perspective, I don't think the sentiment was there yet for a turning point. I remember, you know, my early career for the first, you know, 10 years, 10, 15 years of my career, we'd be getting wholesale calls all the time about, okay, interest rates have nowhere to go but up. You got to get in these, you know, these rising rates funds and that type of thing. And yet rates just kept falling further and further. I think we saw probably a sea change maybe a couple years ago once people finally got ready for and used to this low rate environment, this whole lower for longer environment. Finally, I think that in that 2016, mid 2016 period, we wrote some posts about that maybe the environment was finally set for a long-term low in interest rates, and when people had just finally become confident that we were going to be lower for longer, and rates were going to stay extremely low, extraordinarily low in the Fed's terms for a long term. And then we set that low in the mid 2016, which, as we talked about, our thoughts is that very well may be the low for years and maybe even decades to come.
So it first required sentiment getting such that everybody was kind of on the same side of the boat, at least psychologically then, right, Dana, that people figured that we were going to be like Japan forever and ever, and everything was going to be minuscule as far as inflation and interest rates and stuff, and that we would never see rates go higher again. And about the time everybody said never, that's what enabled the turn in this cycle, you think?
Exactly. Once you get everyone on one side of the boat, which you had the shorter term cycles, so you'd had some short term lows along the way and over the last 10 years or so. But until people, as you said, were confident we're going to go into that Japanese scenario and we're going to be, you know, longer, lower for longer, and got out of that mind frame that rates had nowhere to go but up, which was basically the mentality all the way until the financial crisis and soon after the financial crisis, certainly. Finally, once people were convinced that rates were not going up again, that's when, you know, basically you have the scenario where you have no more buyers left, right? And that produces the ability to form a long-term low. Now, cycles, if you believe in cycles, then there are really no reasons or rationales necessary for why the cycles happen. They're going to happen anyways, but afterwards you can, you know, pretty much put together a narrative, or even during a turning point like a couple of years ago, certainly we could see the sea change in sentiment starting to develop and produce that environment capable of putting in such a long-term important low.
Now, I one of the things I like about the work you put out, Dana, is you've got some really neat long-term charts. They're some of the better ones and better illustrated ones of any I've seen. And a time or two, I've asked you to update your long-term downtrend chart where long-term interest rates are concerned to see at what level we can say technically that the long bond bull market is really dead. Now, you and I were talking off mic, and you said that for the 10-year, and this is what we talked about a while back, the 10-year note would have to go through about the 3.4 to 3.6% range in order to be able to say that this long-term downtrend for interest rates has been broken, and we now have broken to the upside and confirmed maybe the start of this new cycle. First of all, did I get that number right? And secondly, what odds from 0 to 100 would you put on that 3.4% or whatever level being broken in the near term?
First of all, yep, that is the correct number. Second of all, I would say it's going to be, it's while we think the long-term low is in and we're going up for years and decades, it's not going to be straight up, and there are going to be points that will offer up significant resistance, and that 340 to 360-ish area you'll probably see about as staunch resistance as you're going to find up on the way up, just in the form of those long-term downtrend lines that you mentioned. So you have that peak in 1981, obviously, and you have the downtrend line coming down from there, connecting that 2007 top. So that's crossing around the 340 range right now. Then you have the kind of a shallower downtrend line starting at that 87 peak and connecting the peaks throughout the 90s and into that 2000 top. And that's around the 360 range right now. So once we do finally break up out above this 3% area, I could see a swift move up into that 340 to 360 range. Another charting technique that we use is Fibonacci, a Fibonacci sequence, which is, as you know, basically a mathematical sequence that you see all forms of all for you see in all walks of life, from nature to financial markets, and we see a very reliable pattern in financial markets and in the way and magnitude and of movements in markets. And the first major Fibonacci level that we saw on the retracement from those long-term highs was around the 262 level, which, as you recall, was basically where we stopped out, where we stopped in late 2016, early 2017, and finally broke out earlier this year. So the next major Fibonacci level would be around that 344 level, which, you know, lines up exactly with those long-term trend lines that we're talking about. So I would say, if we do get up there, if and when we do get up there, that would probably be offer up some pretty significant resistance in terms of rates and support in terms of bond prices. So that would be a great place if you're if you happen to catch that move to cover shorts, buy some bonds for a bounce. But, you know, I'm getting a little bit of ahead of myself, but if and when we do get up there, which, you know, eventually we think we will, it's a matter of when, but that would be a good spot to expect a rally from.
So even though we're going to go above 3%, we tagged it exactly today so far, you're still fairly highly confident that we're going to get to that range of 340 to 360, and at that point there'll be more trouble to go higher.
I would say that would offer significant resistance for at least temporarily. Right. You know, we would consolidate for some time. I would say the other problematic thing right now for bond shorts is everyone else is short. You know, you look at hedge funds, you look at you just take a look at the commitment of traders in 10-year and 30-year positioning in the futures markets. Everybody is, it's almost at record short level. So I'm not saying it's a done deal that we break through 3% and shoot up to 340, 350 right now. I don't know when we do that, but it's just a matter of time that we will, I'm sure.
Okay. And real quick, because we're out of time, I want to ask your opinion of the U.S. dollar. It seems to be turning right now. What are your charts telling you about the near-term direction for the dollar?
I would say you take a look at one key metric on the dollar, one key tool on the long-term chart of the dollar is the downtrend line from the 85 top, which we finally broke a couple years ago, and we've been basically banging off it on the way down over the last couple years. And right now on the dollar index, that would be, you know, right at that 88 level, 88 and a half level. So we're trying to hold that line. If we can hold that line, then again, the dollar, the futures positioning would be supportive of a long-term bottom here, or at least a significant bottom, produce a significant move higher. On the other hand, prices have not seemed interested in moving up yet. So one scenario I would not be surprised to see would be some sort of a breakdown below that, below the recent lows, maybe a false breakdown, catches everyone off guard. Causes you know, massive shorting, and then flips around and starts rallying from there. Because I think the pieces are in for a significant bottom. It's just that prices have not cooperated yet, and that's, prices are obviously the most important thing.
Right. Interesting food for thought. Dana, thank you so much for taking a few minutes today to visit about the interest rate situation and the dollar. And we'll do this again before too long.
Sounds good, Chris. Thanks for having me on.